High noon. This term brings to mind the chaotic gunfights of spaghetti western movies. High zero, Baltimore's festival of experimental improvised music, is a chaotic convergence of musical personalities shooting from the hip. When they take the stage, you never know what you're going to get. The improvisation at High Zero does not fit neatly into any musical tradition. It's not even free jazz. It's free improvisation, free of known musical styles and conventions. John Berndt organized the first High Zero in 1999. This year, he and his army of volunteers brought together musicians from Baltimore, the rest of the United States, and Europe in front of sellout crowds numbering in the hundreds.
We take about 25 to 30 musicians that are our favorite improvisers. We organize them into about 22 sets of music in different combinations, trying to find combinations that are ones that will not have predictable outcomes musically, and also typically where the people haven't maybe played together that much before. People improvise, and I mean the resulting music is extremely varied.
High Zero was originally an outgrowth of a small, tight-knit community of musicians and enthusiasts. Word is spreading, however, as performer Catherine Pancake recently found out when she heard a local college student discussing the festival.
He was sort of talking, you know, in a loud voice, and he was like, "Hey, just moved here from Chicago, and he's going to Johns Hopkins," and he was talking about all the Chicago, you know, kind of popular musicians, and he said, it was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, a really loud voice, he said, "That High Zero, that's the deal, right? You got to go to that. I got to go to that one." And I was like, "Yeah, you should. I have no idea. I heard about it, but as soon as he got to Baltimore, that was like on his list, you know, of things that he needed to see this year. High Zero Festival. So, and I realized that it had grown beyond the group of people who were organizing it and whatever PR, you know, we've done. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. So that's really, really cool.
Ian Nagoski moved to Baltimore from Philadelphia 4 years ago to be closer to the world that has grown around this music. He's performed at High Zero, and he hosts experimental music concerts at his new record store, The True Vine.
And this is a situation which is fairly unique. Somebody, Karen Stackpole, last night said that she'd just flown 3,000 miles for the world's biggest musical blind date. Which is about right. You could just, you know, wind up with, like, spaghetti sauce all over your lap and crying at the door, or you could, you know, wind up very satisfied. Either one.
The blind date doesn't always work out so well. Lauren Boyer came down from Boston with a friend who was performing at High Zero. At the previous night's show, he'd found himself having trouble enjoying one set involving Philadelphia guitarist Jack Rose.
The woman playing violin was bothering me a lot, because she was drowning out Jack, and I liked what Jack was doing much better.
Carlos Gillen is the translator between the performers and the audience. As sound engineer, he must mix the sounds so that everyone can be heard.
I'd heard the music, but actually having to run sound at a four-day festival, 4 hours a night, with a three-hour matinee on Saturday, turned my brain into mush, because it was just so much to handle. I had no idea what I was in for.
The performances were fascinating. One musician used a handmade violin bow to draw whistling melodies out of a metal saw, then stood up and began sawing into the milk crate he'd been sitting on. Another performer took cymbals, pots, and pans, heated them on a small stove, then pressed them against a block of dry ice. This created varying pitches depending on the rate at which the metal expanded. Somehow all these sounds worked together. It was like watching a small society collectively inventing a language, communicating with it briefly, and with a shrug, abandoning it forever. Jim Smith, a first-time High Zero attendee who usually listens to opera and classical music, was impressed.
My favorite one was the second set, although I also liked the third set a lot, too. The second one had this really cool percussionist who did a lot of neat kind of rough-sounding things against a fantastic little trumpet player and this guitar player. They were very kind of smooth and and a little bit polished, and then there was this real contrast with the percussion guy. It was great.
Kevin Corbin, who has been to several free improvisation concerts, can only take it in small doses.
Once you've seen it once, I kind of feel like you've seen it, you know, and it may not be worth seeing again until you forget it. So, I mean, each one's different, but they're all the same in the fact that they're just cacophony, and I just don't feel like it's really communicating anything very deeply to me. I'd say I might go back because it really is, it just completely juxtaposes the way you think about performance in general and musical ideas, musical performance specifically.
For Laquan Nien, a percussionist from Toulouse, France, free improvisation is about allowing the listener to take a personal journey.
And it's so great because so many shows or so many concerts, you know, it's unique, it's a unique way of thinking or a unique way of feeling. But this kind of proposition, everybody can make, you know, his or her own journey in the forest,
yeah.
You know? So it's great because we can discover that there are 1,000 different paths in the forest, and not only one.
Perhaps Joe McPhee, the fantastic little trumpet player of whom Jim Smith was so enamored, sums up High Zero best.
I think you just have to be open. You just have to let yourself be open and not be caught up in categories and that sort of thing. I mean, you come with open ears. For example, I don't think anybody would have to tell you if you saw a sunset whether or not it was beautiful, or a flower, or heard a bird sing. You know that sort of intuitively. And you trust your own senses. You put one foot in front of the other and you see if the ground is safe and you walk on it. And I think that's a yardstick that I use.
For Dateline, I'm Lawrence Lanahan.
Qualitatively, it's extremely varied. I mean, the facts are that we take about 25 to 30 musicians that are our favorite improvisers. We organize them into about 22 sets of music in different combinations, trying to find combinations that are ones that will not have predictable outcomes musically. And also typically where the people haven't maybe played together that before or played together that much before. And then people improvise, and I mean the resulting music is extremely varied. I mean, I think in improvised music,
I have a really good friend who's a musician, and it's interesting because she and her partner are musicians. They don't really listen to a lot of improvised music. They're more into roots and blues music. Creative, great, just kind of a mix between and lawyer. That's definitely interesting. And last year, our audience was was down to see what was going to happen. It's like, what? Also, I kind of got a sense of how it had permeated out into the kind of music underground and music culture, because I was on a show at the True Vine. Leprechaun catering show, and there's this kid that came in, and he was sort of talking, you know, in a loud voice, and he's like, "Hey, just moved here from Chicago, and he's going to Johns Hopkins," and just talking about all the Chicago, you know, kind of popular musicians, and he said, he was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, in a really loud voice, he said, "Yeah, and that That high zero, that's the deal, right? You got to go to that. I got to go to that one. And I was like, yeah, you should. I have no idea how he heard about it, but as soon as he got to Baltimore, that was like on his list, you know, of things that he needed to see this year, you know, the High Zero Festival. So, and I realized that it had grown beyond the group of people who were organizing it and whatever PR, you know, we've done. It's kind of taken on a life of its own. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah. So what do you, when you,
and this is a situation which is fairly unique. Karen Stackpole last night said that she'd just flown 3,000 miles for the world's biggest musical blind date, which is about right. Yeah, I mean, if you could just, you know, wind up with, like, spaghetti sauce all over your lap and crying at the door, or you could, you know, wind up very satisfied.
The woman playing violin was bothering me a lot because she was drowning out Jack, and I liked what Jack was doing much better.
Use a lot of those elements in their music, and I'd seen other bands like Triage, Sun Ra, and Miles Davis, and just, you know, I'd heard the music, but actually having to run sound at a 4-day festival, 4 hours a night with a 3-hour matinee on Saturday, turned my brain into mush because it was just so much to handle. I had no idea what I was in for. And once I got
11 o'clock, which is way past my bedtime, so I'm not going to hear the last one.
What did you have a favorite? Was there anything about
My favorite one was the second set, although I also liked the third set a lot too. The second one had this really cool percussionist who did a lot of neat kind of rough sounding things against a fantastic little trumpet player and this guitar player. They were very kind of smooth and a little bit polished, and then there was this real contrast with the percussion guy. It was great.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
Does
it
well, it just I don't know. Once you've seen it once, I kind of feel like you've seen it, you know? And it may not be worth seeing again until you forget it. So, I mean, each one's different, but they're all the same in the fact that there's just cacophony and just, I just don't feel like it's really communicating anything very deeply to me, you know? I'd say I might go back because it really is, it just completely juxtaposes the way you think about performance in general and musical ideas, musical performance specifically.
Yeah, what's from the one,
you know, Johnny,
uh-huh.
Within the thing, and it's so great because so many shows or so many concerts, you know, it's unique, it's a unique way of thinking or a unique way of feeling. But this kind of proposition, everybody can make, you know, his or her own journey in the forest,
yeah.
You know? So it's great because we can discover that there are 1,000 different paths in the forest and not only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever find in the conservatory that people to decide what's going on because it's so open?
I think you just have to be open. You just have to let yourself be open and not be caught up in categories and that sort of thing. I mean, you come with open ears. For example, I don't think anybody would have to tell you if you saw a sunset whether or not it was beautiful or a flower or heard a bird sing. You know that sort of intuitively. And you trust your own senses. You put one foot in front of the other and you see if the ground is safe and you walk on it. And I think that's a yardstick that I use, you know.